This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In less than a week, the so-called Super Committee must deliver the goods, or else the budget-cutting acts will come down automatically. And if it does, Massachusetts and the Boston area in particular will be hit especially hard.
The Super Committee, of course, is the bipartisan group of 12 members of Congress trying to agree on $1.2 trillion in budget cuts over the next decade. If they can't get it done by next Wednesday, across-the-board cuts will automatically take effect, including $600 billion in Pentagon cuts.
That would be a huge blow to high-tech companies and local research institutions in Massachusetts that rely heavily on federal funding. Among them, MIT, which last year received about $1.3 billion from the feds, most of it from the Pentagon and the National Institutes of Health.
Not surprising, then, that lots of folks in Massachusetts are keeping close tabs on what's happening in Washington, and that includes Claude Canizares. He's vice president for research at MIT. He's also a professor of physics. He spends a lot of his time in Washington lobbying for federal research dollars. And Mr. Canizares, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony. My pleasure.
So let's talk about what happens to this region in particular if the Super Committee doesn't resolve the stalemate triggering that automatic budget axe. How badly does it hit Massachusetts?
Well, of course, the actual magnitude of the hit is yet to be determined. But with this something close to $8 billion of federal funding that comes into this region at a 10% cut, you can do the math. It could be many hundreds of millions of dollars.
So that would obviously have an effect on jobs and the kind of research work that MIT does, right?
It would indeed. And one of the things that concerns us most is that if we're really going to get out of the economic situation that we're in, the kind of innovation and discovery that happens in research is going to really be the fuel for economic growth. That's the best way to get out.
And what about other sources of funding? I mean, what about the argument that given what we're facing, research, just like entitlement programs, need to be on the chopping block as well?
Well, I can certainly understand that everything needs to be looked at and looked at very hard, and we're all in favor of that. After all, we are scientists. But it's well known that innovation is really been the engine of economic growth in this country for decades. Economists estimate that as much as 60% of the economic growth comes from innovation. My economist colleagues at MIT say that people are treating this as if it's a debt crisis and a jobs problem. It's really a jobs crisis and a debt problem. So the very wrong thing to do would be to cut an engine of economic growth when you're trying to get out of a debt problem and then grow out of the debt problem over some years.
Hmm. Well, you are the vice president of research at MIT. We know that you get something like 70% of the research funding from the feds, about $1.3 billion that we mentioned, a lot of it from the Pentagon, the NIH, the Department of Energy, National Science Foundation, and NASA. I mean, is it possible to put a number on? Well, I mean, we talked about the numbers, but what actually are we talking about in terms of concrete programs that might be lost or interrupted?
Well, of course, we don't know which programs will be cut, and we would certainly hope that if there are, if there is a leveling off, as we all expect, or even a decrease in some funding, that it be done strategically and not just with an across-the-board hatchet, which would be very much the wrong way to do it. But the kinds of research we're doing, for example, is in cancer research, is trying to really engineer nanoparticles to deliver chemotherapy directly to a tumor so that it's much more therapeutic and doesn't, you know, make people's hair fall out and cause all those other side effects. Research like that, research in the Defense Department, we're doing a lot of research and trying to enhance soldier survivability, looking at traumatic brain injury and how to design better helmets. These things are both things that could actually translate quickly into the economy. There's other more basic long-term research, but they're the kinds of things which would either be stretched out or in some cases canceled if a serious major across the board cut is put in place.
So let's assume that the super committee between now and next Wednesday does come to an agreement. You still get hit, but is the expectation that the cuts would be less drastic?
That's certainly the expectation. Remember, there are four parts in large terms to the federal budget. There's the discretionary part, mm-hmm. which is what we're talking about. You know, then there's a mandatory piece. There's defense discretionary and domestic discretionary. There's a mandatory piece, which is all the so-called entitlement programs. There's interest, which of course we have to pay to honor our bonds. If you're only taking it out of the discretionary piece, which is what the super committee is, the sequestration would do if the super committee doesn't act. You're certainly limiting it, and then of course there's revenue, which is what pays for all this, and you can adjust that. So just taking it out of discretionary is just taking it out of one of the four levers that people have on their hands.
So I assume you've been to D.C. lately, and I have two very quick questions about what you're doing down there. What's the message you're bringing to lawmakers? And I don't know if you're a betting man, but what kind of odds are you placing on them actually producing a deal by next Wednesday?
I'm guardedly optimistic that some kind of a deal will be reached. Whether they reach the full 1.2 or not is questionable, but if they even go partway, that would be good. And the message really is pay attention to the seed corn, the investments that are actually going to help us grow out of this, and don't let the cuts fall equally everywhere and what would be even worse, disproportionately on research just because it's easy to turn the knob down.
Well, Professor Cannizzaros, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.
Claude Cannizzaros is Vice President of Research at MIT. He's also a professor of physics.
Well, coming up next, how the Penn State child sex abuse scandal resonates here in Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.